Praise God. While you're standing, let's go with the flow of the Spirit here this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 1. Chapter 7 and verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, he was through with the prayer. Done all, anybody ended your prayer? You prayed all you know how to pray about this. You've done everything you know to do. And when he had ended the praying, the fire came down from heaven, and it consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. When he had ended the prayer, the fire came down, the sacrifices went up, and the glory of the Lord came in. The Bible says as a smoke, and it filled the house. And the priests could not enter. They couldn't enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. There was no room. There was no more room. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord was upon it, see, they stood on the outside and began to watch. And they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Ooh, can you say this morning with your face to the ground, with your face to the pavement, can you say, facing your problems, and say, He's great and greatly to be praised? Ooh, I want to steal a title, if I can, from a song this morning, Down from His Glory. Thank God, down from His glory. Lord, I'm thankful for the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. We're thankful, Lord, for the feeling that we have when we come to this place among our brothers and sisters. God, it's so wonderful to know that you're a living God and you live inside and dwell among your people. Thank God for all you've done in the past, all you're doing now, and all that I know you will do in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you. Good to see all of you here this morning. Appreciate any visitors here this morning. And you may be new to us, but I hope you're not new to the presence of the Lord. Amen. I want to talk about down from His glory. All the glory belongs to the Lord. He lets us know, my honor, my glory, I won't share it with another. Now, when we read these scriptures, it says He won't share it with another. You need to read the rest of it. He said, nor with graven images. What He's saying is, I will share my glory with man, but I won't share it with the works of man. Okay. Now, it's not that you'll get the glory, because we're supposed to give God the glory, redound back to God, right? But in the Old Testament, the thing was, they had these carved images. They carved them out of wood. They carved them out of chiseled out stone. They had molds and made molden images out of metals and all these things because they wanted to see their God. They wanted to see their God. It's hard to worship what you've not seen, right? Did not Jesus tell Philip, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are them who believe and have not seen? So it's real difficult to believe in a spirit that you cannot see. So they would whittle out a little stone, a little figurine, and they would set that out there in stone or whatever and bow themselves down to that. Because it was trying to find a conduit. They were trying to find a channel to get to their God. Because they in their minds were carnal, so they had to look at something else carnal and hope it had a connection to God. All right? And so here was Israel. They didn't have all that. They just raised their hands towards Jerusalem at one time, and we raise our hands towards heaven today, and we worship a God that we've not seen. But let me tell you something. Finally, God became an image. Woo! Finally, God said, I'm not coming. See, I don't want you to worship my works, I don't want you to worship your works of my hands. I want you to worship the works of my hands. But men would take the works of God's hands and turn it into something they worship because of their hands. Are you with me? But God said, I want you to worship the works of my hands. So when God came on the scene, the Bible says He was manifest upon the scene. He walked in flesh and became the expressed image of God so that we now could look at Him and see God. You now had a conduit. You now had something, an image that you could look at. And He didn't come of wood or stone. He came of a woman born under the law. Hallelujah. So that He could be like unto us. And so now we have this connection to the glory of God. And God never wanted to share His glory with anybody who did not serve him. And the heavens tell of his glory, and the earth tells of his glory. Everything really tells of his glory. It didn't just get here. God created it. And in the beginning, we see the glory of God at work. And the glory is when something can be said and not have to work at it to make it. And God said. And when God said it, the glory showed up. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. That's glorious. Now that's glorious. For me, I got to make electricity. I got to rub two sticks together if I want to start a fire. But he just said, let the fire come down. And the fire came down. That is the glory, is when you can say it and it happens. Not work at it to make it. You just say it and it happens. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the light became a reflection of the glory of God. It reflected his glory. So that the earth and the heavens and the clouds and all this reflects the glory of God. And he said, I need a man that could reflect my glory. I'd like to have a man in my own image that when men look at him, they could see me in him. And so the Lord made a man. Amen? He made a man, and he called that man's name Adam. And out of Adam, he made a female, a woman, and he made her name to be called Eve. And these two were to be a reflection of the perfection of God. They were to reflect. When you saw Adam, you should see God. Just like when I see you, I should see a Christian. Yeah, okay. And when God made Adam, the Bible says he crowned him with glory. He crowned him with glory. God gave Adam the ability to just say it. And it was so. Oh, yes. He brought all the animals to Adam. Animals, he got all the animals. He said, come here, they come. And the Bible says that the Lord brought all the animals to Adam to see what he would name them. And whatever he named them, the Bible says, that was the name thereof. That's glorious. Oh, that's glorious. We're still calling a giraffe. And a hippopotamus, a hippopotamus. Because whatever he named them, it was so glorious. He could just say it. Things flowed and things grow because he just said it. He was the reflection of God Almighty. He was crowned with glory. Hallelujah. Thank God. Like the song says, if you lost a lot of stuff in life, but don't ever lose your thank you, Jesus. Don't ever lose your hallelujahs, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't ever lose that praise for God. But Adam had this crown of glory until the day he sinned, and the glory departed. It was like Ichabod when the Ark of the Covenant was stolen. She named her son, Eli's daughter-in-law, named her son Ichabod, meaning the glory of the Lord has departed. And so the glory of the Lord, the crown of glory that Adam had, became a sweatband. Yes. It went from a crown of look at me and my relationship with God to a severance with God. So that now the things he once spoke to, he now had to work for. And the things he once could just pick off the tree, he now had to hoe about it and dung about it and water it and get it to grow. He said, by the sweat of your brow now, I take your crown off now, you're going to sweat where I once had a crown. He had now to work at it, and he stripped him of his glory because God is not going to tolerate sin. Sin cannot enter there. We're all sinners, right? Saved by grace, but add that saved by grace. You can't enter there without the grace of God. And the glory of the Lord departed from Adam because he did not share the glory of the Lord with the Lord, but he shared the glory with the devil. And the devil began to get glory out of this because he turned man against God. The Bible says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren, day and night. Did you see what she did? See what Sally did? And she says she's a Christian. David wrote of this. Let's go to Psalms 8 and 3. When I consider the heavens and the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man, that thou would visit him, or visitest him, for thou hast made him a little lower than the devil. What was the devil? An angel. You made him a little lower than the devil, that he might be tempted. But you've crowned him with glory and with honor. You crowned him with glory and with honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. This is the story of Adam in all of his glory. This is the beginning of how God created man and gave him a crown of glory and of honor to have a relationship with him. And all the sheep and the oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, this is Adam, and the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Adam was crowned with the glory of God because it was God Almighty that breathed into him and inspired him, and he became a living soul, breathing from the one breath from the Almighty. And he stood on his feet. My. And whatever Adam said, he had dominion over it. The birds, the fish. He put him over the works of his hands. But when Adam sinned, he made him work for the things he used to, could talk to. Now they don't listen to him. You ever had confidence in somebody and boy, you just, everything they said, you just, and then they blew it. You say, I don't care, I don't listen to nothing he says. That's what happened to Adam. Animals didn't listen to him anymore. Plants didn't listen to him anymore. The winds didn't obey him anymore because he lost his crown of glory. Amen. Even Aaron, Moses' brother, the high priest, when he sinned, made the golden calf, you know what, and said, behold our God that brought us across. Oh, no, you know better than that. And the Bible says that the Lord stripped him naked as Adam, stripped him naked of his crown of priesthood and barred him from going into the promised land. God will not share his glory with the world, with an idol, with anybody else. And once God has shared his glory with man, he always desired that his glory could come back to man. But the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the faith, the hope, the truth. No, they've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why? Because sin made Adam lose his crown, that now he came short of the glory of God. And we all come short of it. And God desired to bring man back into relationship where he could be glorious once again, so he could say, look at my image. And when you see Adam, you saw God. When people in the world see you, they ought to see God. And from time to time after the fall in the garden, the Bible says that God would visit man, and he was hungry to dwell with him and in him, but he'd only come and he would leave at times. He would come in little phases, if you will. But God desired glory and desired honor. When you look at the plagues that came across Egypt and the Pharaoh, one thing consistent God always said, I will get me glory or honor upon Pharaoh. I'm going to pressure him till he recognizes me. As I was teaching Whitman this morning, we were talking about Nebuchadnezzar 1 and 2, and we were talking about Daniel and giving God glory, and Shadrach, Meshach giving God glory, but they were inside of a province that did not give God glory. So God took them down. God took Nebuchadnezzar down to the ground and let him eat grass till he reasoning and understanding came to him. And he looked up and said, I'm going to give him glory. And when he began to give him glory, he raised him up. Hallelujah. God desires his people to give him glory. Amen. So confused was Moses. Amen. After seeing the Red Sea open, you would think that's the glory of God. After seeing water come out of the rock, after seeing manna that was come from heaven and quail come out of the sea, yet he said, shew me thy glory. show me your glory. And the Lord said, I'm going to cause my goodness to pass by. And as my glory passes by, I'm going to cover your face. I'm going to hide you in a cleft. And when I get past you, I'll let you see the end of my glory. I already crowned a man with glory. I've already put my glory on another man. And look what happened. I'll let you see the tail end of my glory, but I'm not ready to crown you with glory. Wow. Amen. The glory of the Lord passed by him, but he only saw the hinder parts. And that's where we believe he wrote the book of Genesis. God gave Adam a crown of glory, and he desires to give us, my brothers and sisters, the same crown. In our text, we find that Solomon had brought the Ark of the Covenant into the temple to its final resting place. And as Solomon is ending the prayer, a glorious thing happened. Notice what's there. Prayer was there and sacrifice was there. You want the glory? No. You see, we want the glory without the prayer and the sacrifice. Just give me the glory. Let me talk to this side over here. You can't have the glory without the prayer and the sacrifice. And it's got to be acceptable unto God. And when he had ended his prayer, the fire came down and poof, took up the sacrifice, consumed the sacrifice. And then, brother, the glory come in like a smoke. Hallelujah. It filled all the place where they were sitting. It filled everywhere. It was so full of smoke that the priests couldn't even come in. And the people on the outside are like, wow, they saw the fire come down. They fell to their face. Why? To give glory and honor to the one that brought the fire down. Hallelujah. He's waiting for you to get a sacrifice and pray. And you will too see the fire come down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. And while they had their face to the ground, worshiping, can I tell you there were cherubims in the heavenlies flying around the throne, the Bible says, with six wings, twain they cover their face, twain their feet, and with two they fly, crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. I don't know if I'm going to get through to y'all or not, but when you're in line at Wendy's or wherever you go to eat, or maybe it's unemployment line or whatever, people need to look at you and go, wow, there's something different about you. Woo, there's something I feel. They may not understand it, but they need to feel the glory that comes through you from Christ. Hallelujah. If the glory, if there's no difference between us and the world, let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. The greatest glory was what they was praising Christ for, or God for. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy will be here when he comes back. Can you thank the Lord for that? Hallelujah. Thank God for his mercy. For thousands of years, men walked looking at little glimpses of the glory of God, feeling. Samson got, hey, the Spirit of the Lord would come on him and he'd do some glorious things, but it would leave and he would be weak as other men. It just came and it went. But there come a day, my brothers and sisters, where God came to earth and he was known as the last man, Adam. He was known as the last man, and he came down from his glory. And he got a crown of glory. He became the glory of God in flesh. My. And John began to write. He wrote the Genesis of the New Testament. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Remember what I said, glory is when you can say it and it happens. When the winds and the waves obey you and you just say it. When a fig tree dries up and you just say it. Amen. When the fish get in the net and you just say it. When everything obeys just your words, that is glory, my friend. It's when heaven and earth are in sync. The same was in the beginning with God. The same word, John said, was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was nothing or anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And verse 14 says, and the word, hallelujah, that was in the beginning was made flesh. It was the expressed image of God, and it dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. We beheld a crown of glory. Woo, no man spake like this man. A crown of glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Adam was God's first son. The Bible says, Luke, about chapter 4, says that Adam was the Son of God. He was the first Son of God in creation. But Jesus was the only begotten. Begotten means to be born of a woman. And he was the only begotten of a woman. And he was full of grace and full of truth. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten. Woo, glory to God. He came with a crown. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The heavens were telling of his glory. Amen. Even John the Baptist baptized Jesus. The heavens, the curtains of heavens peeled back, and a voice came from heaven saying, I'm going to crown him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Peter, James, and John goes to the Mount of Transfiguration, and there they see Christ in all of his glory. And they see Moses and Elijah, the fulfillment of the law, and the prophets was with him. And they saw, he said, oh, it's good that we be here. Let's make three tabernacles. He said, no, we're not staying here. Hallelujah. Have you ever beheld his glory, my brothers and sisters, the glory of God? Hallelujah. The glory that he puts inside of us, it's like the song says, nothing can replace it. There's no peace like our peace. There's no king like our king. There's no Lord like our Lord. Whoo, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5. Now watch this. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come. He didn't put the world to come in subjection to the angels, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, that one is David. I've already read it to you. But he quotes it here again for a specific reason. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou would visitest him. Why is it important that David said that? Because Christ would sit on his throne in all of his glory. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Not only speaking of Adam, but speaking of Christ. Christ was made a little lower than the devil. I know that may cross your theology, but it is true. Because if he was made more powerful than the devil without the Spirit of God, then the devil would have got him. Just like he did you. And you, and you, and you. Because we are no match for the devil. But he made him a little lower than the devil, but with God, him being God in flesh, he could resist the devil. So that he could go through the same temptations you go through and stay glorious and keep his crown to the end. Woo, glory to God. I wanted to shout when I saw all this stuff last night. Hallelujah. Hey, God, I like to preach to y'all because I just get to do it again. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory. We beheld the glory of the Father, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth and honor, and didst set him over the works of thine hands. Everything was made by him, and it was made for him, and nothing was made that was not made for and by him. Woo, glory to God. The last man, Adam, came with all the power of heaven and earth was vested in him. Even Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. That's the glory of God. So that he could just speak it without working it, and it happened. My, my, my. And thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he hath put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, even death. But now we see not yet all things put under him, meaning under us, because we're still alive. He put death under him and came out of the grave, but he's got to rescue us. But we see Jesus. Do you see? Do y'all see? Do you see him or not? I'm not talking about me. Do you see? Moses followed him who was invisible. Do you see? Somebody asked me one time, he said something about hearing something from the Lord. He said, you heard the voice of the Lord? I said, I hear it all the time. Oh, I'm talking about the audible voice of the Lord. I said, I hear it just like you're talking. Because it all comes through your ears and into your mind, right? So when the prophet said, and the word of the Lord came unto me, they didn't hear like your voice. They heard the voice of the Lord. It speaks to you in a quiet way. So that when the storm, the rocks, and all these things that made a bunch of noise didn't get Elijah out of the cave. But the still small voice of the Lord did. And that voice would, did you hear it? Did you hear what he just told him? What are you doing in here, Elijah? You see, you can hear the voice of the Lord without having to have ears. And it's just as plain as you talking. Am I alone here? Are you? I hear voices. I'm sorry. I hear voices. Thank the Lord. Y'all pray for me. I hear voices. We see Jesus. Here it is. Who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. There's no dead angels. There's no dead angels. They go into the pit for everlasting fire, but there's no dead angels. Crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man who gets a crown. Woo, hallelujah. For everyone going to get a crown. Hallelujah. Everybody is eligible now for a crown because he tasted death without sin for you and for me. And he extends his grace to me so he can extend his crown to me. So that I too can begin to call those things that are not as though they were. That's what faith is, my brothers and sisters. Is believing it before you see it. Saying it before it happens. Hallelujah. For it became him of whom all things and by whom are all things to in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. He's the captain of the glorious army. Hallelujah. And he became the captain of the army because he's already been there and done that. As they come this morning, for both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one. We all share the glory. Your arm, your feet, and your head all share the glory. They all share the glory. They all share the pain, right? For we're all one. For which cause he is not ashamed, thank God, like Adam and Eve was ashamed. They're not ashamed to call them brethren. Christ was not ashamed to say, that's my brother. Paul's my brother. He's a chosen vessel of mine. And we, each other, should not be ashamed to call each other brothers and sisters. And lastly, 1 Peter 5 and 4. And when the chief shepherd, I'm the under shepherd. Amen. And you're a shepherd in your own right. Everybody's over something. Can you say amen? You're over something. You're shepherd over something. But when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive. The crown of glory that fadeth not away. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Can the church say amen? And the glory of the Lord has returned. Hallelujah. It's returned to man through Christ. And he becomes that image now, my conduit to God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you too will receive a crown. That glorious crown that fadeth not away is a crown of life. For Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown, he called it, of righteousness. But not for me only, but for all those who love his appearing. Woo, would you stand this morning? Would you love to see him come right now? Hallelujah. Wouldn't you love to see him come right now? Amen. I said, wouldn't you love to see him come right now? Where's my saints at? Wouldn't you love to see him come right now? Out there working on that building one day. I had four guys working on that building. Their language wasn't good. What they doing wasn't good. And Brother Charlie was with me out there, and we said something about, boy, it'd be a good day for Christ to come. They said, not now. Not now. I'm telling you, folks, he's coming. He's coming. He already come down from his glory once. He's coming back to get his glory. We become the glory of God, and he's going to take us to glory. The Bible says he went as far as he could go out of Bethany, and a cloud come got him and received him into glory. For great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, preached unto Gentiles, seen of angels, and received into glory. I'm headed to glory, y'all. From glory to glory. From glory to glory. Hallelujah. It's an everlasting glory. Let's sing a song this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the glory of God.
Bright morning sun.
Hallelujah. Why don't you come? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's come sing this song together.
High lifted up, you are exalted.
Let's give God glory for the next few minutes. Hallelujah.
You're an holy yes, Lord. One. Above you there is none. High lifted up, you are exalted. You are exalted.
Why don't you do that this morning? Exalt the Lord.
You're
together and let's magnify
one.
His name. Hallelujah.
Above you
glory
there
to
is
God.
None.
Hallelujah.
I lift it up. You are exalted.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a song they sing that if God will get the victory, he'll get the glory. If you'll give God the glory, he'll give you the victory. You'll give God the glory. If he heals you, he'll heal you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants the glory. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. I realize that maybe some of you do not feel like you're ready to meet the Lord. Keep working at it. I'm not here to discourage you. I'm here to encourage you to keep working at it. Don't give up. Because if you give up, you'll never get there. But keep at it, day by day. Some of us, and I'm not telling you I'm not perfect. I'll tell you I'm not. But he's still perfecting me. But I'm better than I was. I'm closer than I used to be. Hallelujah. And in that way of perfection, Sister Abear right here. Sister Felicia. And who's the other little girl? Cassandra. She's here like every other week. They're wanting to be baptized. And I have given, yes. They're wanting to, see, that's a major step, right? But it is a step in the right direction. And I do thank Brother Gidro spent a lot of time working with this family. And I appreciate the efforts he's put in and the growth that I see. Amen. You never know when you're witnessing somebody what the outcome will be. You're not charged to look at the outcome. You're charged to witness, right? And so many times when we baptize folks, now, you know, I'm kind of old school and new school, okay? And let me explain what I'm talking about. Many times we used to baptize folks, they basically had to be perfect before you baptized them. Come on. If they wasn't perfect, we didn't baptize them. Don't leave me out here like... But how many of you have grown since you got baptized? How many of you repented since you've been baptized? How many of you messed up since you've been baptized? So I'm afraid that like I said, I'm old school and I'm new school, but I'm open to revelation. And this is what the Word says, which sometimes we're disobedient. Hello? When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, I think when he got off the boat, he did something he wasn't supposed to do, if I remember right, but he was saved anyway. In the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, when a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, in the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, listen close, not to the putting away of the filth of the flesh. But to the answer, that's what she's got. To an answer, that's what the little girl's got. To an answer of a good conscience toward God. Hallelujah. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if you don't believe in the resurrection, don't get baptized. It's that simple. But if you believe in the resurrection, that's what we do to you. We bury you in a watery grave and you come out a new creature. Oh, you ain't going to be perfect. I'm just going to tell you. It's not about that. It's about the direction toward God. I believe I'm taking on the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It's an answer. It's an answer to a bad conscience, and it's an answer to a good conscience toward God. Do you understand me now? Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. So the Lord willing, I am going to teach them about baptism next Tuesday. If I'm a little late coming in Tuesday, that's why. I'm going to be teaching her and Cassandra about baptism. Just dotting my I's and crossing my T's. I like people to know what they're getting when they get it. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many things you got in life? You said, boy, I didn't know what I was getting when I got that. And you went back and said, we don't take no refund. No refund. Hallelujah. We got the best thing going. Amen. I mean, this is the best thing on planet Earth is the glory of God and what you feel here this morning. And I'm glad that people are moving in that direction. Amen. So I'm going to close with an old song. We used to sing this. Skive F. It's coming down, 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 coming down, down, down. Oh, the glory of the Lord is coming.